suffering. Psalm 116, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? Psalm 116, we're going to look down here at verse number 12. As the psalmist here asks a question, Psalm 116, would you please follow along as I read in verse number 12, the Bible says this. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? What if you were writing this psalm and you penned these words? What would your answer be to it? What shall I render personally unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? This morning I'd like to preach a message entitled, What Do We Have to Offer? What do we have to offer? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, so much. Father, for many visitors that are here today, family visiting out of town, or college students that are back. Father, we would be foolish not to just say thank You. Thank You, Father, for another year that You've given us, a year to serve You. Lord, I ask as we approach the Word of God today that we would do so, that we'd rightly divide the Word of truth, that it would convict us where we need to be convicted. Father, there may be some here today that need to be encouraged. Lord, encourage us where we need to be encouraged. And Father, I ask, Lord, as we ask this question, what do we have to offer? That, Father, You would help us to comprehend that the Word of God has that answer. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Psalm 116 is a hymn written by an individual celebrating God's deliverance from sickness so severe that in this passage of Scripture, he truly felt like he was going to die. More than that, it's a poem, it's a prayer, it's a thanksgiving to our Savior. It's a very personal psalm, as maybe you've read it many times. The writer refers to himself some 37 times in 16 of the verses. Indeed, only 3 of the verses have no direct personal reference, yet it's not a simple preoccupation with self. He also mentions the Lord, Jehovah, 15 times in this passage of Scripture. Once again, there are some passages of Scripture that we may come to that truly we kind of skip over, or we've read it so many times that we have it memorized, that it means something to us, but it's not truly personal until we stop for a moment and really begin to dig in. Have you ever, maybe even like in 2020, been shocked at something that just kind of shook you to your core? There's been times in my life over this past year and things that have taken place in my life that is almost shocking. You look back, you take a moment, or maybe even you gasp, or that news that you may get from someone that, whether it's good or bad, maybe it's a, praise the Lord, somebody got out of the hospital, or wow, we found out that somebody's not doing very well, and it's that moment of, oh, you just can't believe it. At times when we look at the Psalms, we dig into passages of Scripture, it almost gives us that sense of shock or awe or that personal feeling that this is affecting us. We begin to look at all that the Lord has done for us. It should leave us with that overwhelming feeling. Yes, I understand in this year that we've taken and a lot of our rights, I feel like, have been taken away, and we've been under a lot of restraint. And I understand. I don't fall on either side of the spectrum. I just kind of, continue to get the gospel out. But we know that washing hands has become a big deal, a mask has become a big deal, and even social distancing has become a big deal. And as we've head into these moments of this year, I feel like at times we think, wow, a lot has been taken from us, including the last 9 months of our lives. A lot of us seniors that are in here today didn't get to have a graduation, or there are many that didn't get to celebrate a birthday, or there are many that Thanksgiving is always a big deal in your family, and this year's just wasn't a big deal at all, or there are many even maybe in here today that your family usually sits in here with you, but they're not in here with you today. There's been a lot that's been taken from us, but when we look at the Word of God, we begin to dwell on Him. Have you ever just begin to kind of dwell on the benefits that He doesn't take from us, but that he has given to us. Look at Psalm 116 for just a moment and look at verse number 1 and watch what the psalmist writes in verse number 1. He says, I love the Lord. Well, why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Isn't it amazing as the psalm writes here that Jesus will always hear? Not everyone's going to answer you. You know that there are some people that you may text and text and text that hey, never will text you back. You'll message them. They never pick up your phone. Anybody like that? You know somebody that just, they never pick up their phone until you shoot them a text and say, hey, I got your gift. Where do you want me to drop your gift? Boom, all of a sudden, boy, I write you back. Here I am. Yeah. It doesn't mean that we all know somebody that they may not, watch out, they may not answer you, but our Abba Father does. We have a Savior that always hears us. If there was ever a time, now watch Crosspoint Baptist, if there was ever a time, family, that you and I ought to be reaching out into the community, reaching out to those around us, reaching out using our social media, that time is right now. Why? Because during this whole COVID-19 crisis, there are many that are struggling. There are many that are searching. There are many that they are looking for an answer. In fact, this past week I was reading in the BMA House Journal quoted last month, in the month of November, that suicide rates in 2020 are up as much as 145% during the COVID-19 pandemic. We may talk about a lot of numbers, and everybody goes back and forth. Well, yeah, they packed the numbers here, and they did this, and they did that. Well, they added this, and they ended up taking what? We're not taking into account this. I understand, hey, we talk about a lot of numbers, but are we talking about those that are hurting? Have we even stopped for a moment to realize that in this area? Now, I'm not talking about those that faithfully attend. I'm not talking about faithful church members. I'm talking about those that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're searching and they're looking and they're calling out, and many of them are even calling it quits. And yet you and I have the answer. Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Everybody's looking for rest. Everybody's looking for easy. Everybody's looking for something. And friend, may I just tell you that you and I have that answer, and it's found right here in the very Word of God. And what the psalmist says here is he says this, look, I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplication. You and I have a Savior we can go to. Look at verse number 3. Oh, the sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I just tell you today, whether you're visiting or a member, you and I have trouble and we have sorrow. The Lord never promised you and I that we got saved, that life is great and everything's going to be good and you're never going to have trouble or sorrow. We have it. It's called the ebb and flow of life. Oh, he saw his pain. He saw his hurt. You and I as Christians are not exempt. We go through hard times. We go through those down times. We go through those depressing times. We have those discouraging conversations. Yes, this psalmist, look, he's living it. Verse number 4. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. The best answer to our problems, watch ladies and gentlemen, is this, is always prayer. If you and I only pray when we're in trouble, my friend, you are in trouble. If you and I only go to Him when something's down or something's not going right or we've lost our keys, if that's the only time that you and I ever stop and go to Him, friend, I'm just telling you, we don't have a true, real relationship with Him, or we're not using all of the benefits that God has given towards us. In fact, it was Elizabeth Elliot that said, prayer lays hold of God's plan and becomes the link between His will and its accomplishment on earth. Amazing things happen when we are given to the privilege of being the channels of the Holy Spirit's prayer. It was Benjamin Franklin that quoted, work as if you lived 100 years. Pray as if you were to die tomorrow. friend, you and I are able to go to our Lord and Savior in prayer. And isn't it amazing that, yes, I know, whoever did the Christmas decorations, I just want to pause for just a moment and say, they are fantastic. From beginning to the end, walking all the way in here, they look beautiful. I'm not sure who it is. I'm not going to call out names because I'm going to skip over somebody. And you're going to be mad at me, so I'm just going to tell you, they're beautiful, okay? But isn't it amazing we come in here, we got the Christmas decorations. Pastor Chris, we even saying there's a song in the air today. Still the Christmas season. Isn't it amazing that we can go through and we have family members in, and we have people in. It's great, and it's Christmas. Who doesn't like Christmas besides the Grinch? But everybody loves Christmas. And we go in, and isn't it amazing we have all the family in. I mean, well, Havings family's here, Pastor Foe family's here. We have a lot of family in. Isn't it amazing we can go 2 or 3 days without talking to our Abba Father? His birth that you and I are supposed to celebrate. We get on our kids because they get up early. My goodness, Karen, didn't our kids get up early? Oh, my word, we're trying to recover, and our time zones are all off, and we're still struggling. I mean, I think it was 73 and sunny when we left, and I was 16 at dreary in Ohio. It's beautiful here, but Ohio, let's pick on Ohio, but it was cold in Ohio. And we got there, and man, our kids got up so early, and okay, we're going to get to the presents in just a moment, and we'll get to it, but we got to read the Christmas story in Luke chapter number 2, and let's open up, let's get it. And those kids, they are not interested right now in an expository message. What they are interested in is tearing open those presents. But isn't it funny, in our lives, we could do the same thing. We could skip right over it. My office for the last several years was on a second story. And it's funny, there's about 60 team members on my team. And they would come in and, you know, my door would be shut. And boy, they'd knock like this. And college students would come in and they'd knock and they'd wait for a come in. Or, you know, they kind of open the door and, hey, are you in there? You know, do you have just a second that maybe we could talk? I'll come back later. You know, that's how they do it. Boy, not my kids. My kids would run up those stairs. I tell you, London, she's not here, so I can pick on her right now. The girl has to weigh, 45, 50 pounds, but she walks like she weighs a ton. The girl, you can hear her, I promise you, security has probably already been calling. Who's going up the stairs? It's my daughter, London, okay? She's just loud. And you can hear her coming up those stairs. My kids would come to the office. They don't knock. They're not quietly. They're not seeing if I'm in a meeting. You know what they do? They just barge right in. Nobody's stopping them. Why? They're shepherd kids. They're my kids. Nobody's going to stop. I'm not going to stop them. I could be in a very serious meeting. I'm going to put up my lap. What do you need? Okay, I'm in a meeting right now. Can you go play for a little bit? And I'll see you here in a little while. And I'm going to talk to them. Why? They have my last name. They're shepherd. Friend, the Bible says you and I are to come boldly before the throne of grace. That's our Savior. That's who He is. That's how He wants you and I to approach Him. It's not waiting back, not holding off. You know, I just think maybe God's busy right now. There's a lot going on in 2020. But maybe I'll come to Him and just hear a little bit. But no, He wants us to come to Him. That's what the psalmist said. Man, I'm in trouble, but I'm going to talk to Him. Look at verse number 5. We're going to move quickly here. Now watch verse number 5. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears. Look what all God has done for him, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. Verse number 11, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Wow, look what the Lord has given to him. When you and I accept Christ as our personal Savior, what the psalmist says here is He's gracious. You and I do not deserve what God gives us, and yet He continues to unload it on us. He gives mercy. You and I don't deserve His mercy. In fact, you and I, if we're honest, we don't deserve to go to heaven, and yet God gives us that mercy. The psalmist said here, He gives me rest. That's our Father. That's what God does for us. We have that rest in Him. We're looking for relief. We need that peace. And yet God has that peace. Someone who is always fretting, someone who's always worried, someone who's always upset, someone who is always just getting filtering everything through MSNBC or CBS or CNN or Fox News, whatever your flavor is, that's the person that's always fretting, always upset, always worried, and yet God says, I have peace for you. Grace, mercy, peace. This is what the psalmist says. He has reaped what I get every single day. And yet now, excuse me, we come to verse number 12, and here's what it says. Look at it with me. Okay, God gave me all this. So what shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits towards me? If this passage ended in verse number 12, Pastor Blake, we'd be like, okay, I gave me a lot and it's great, but what can we do? I mean, how do we approach this? Think about your life for just a moment, what all God has done for you and I. What can we give Him? What can we do? I mean, we're humans. We're not God. Sure, we're saved and we're going to heaven. That's a great thought today. He's good. He's a Savior. We got through Christmas. 2021's around the corner. I think we're all very excited as if one day is going to make a huge difference. But hey, it's just a new year we're looking for. But what can we give? What can we do? In this passage, the psalmist gives us several things that you and I can do. And if you're taking notes this morning, number one, would you write this down? We can accept His salvation. Number one, we can accept His salvation. Verse number 13, look at it with me here in this passage of Scripture. It says this, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Anyone, if you're sitting in here today and if you're saved, you know the benefits that God has given towards you and I. And they're good benefits. We have them. They're there. It's the grace. It's the mercy. It's the peace. It's there. We understand what this psalmist is going through. If you're saved this morning, think about this for just a moment. You and I reap all that. And I can't see underneath your mask this morning. But I would say, as we talk about what God has given to us, it's really hard to even not smile when we say it, is it not? Think about it. Think about it for just a moment. Now, see, some of your eyebrows are raised. I think you're smiling under there. If you're saying, I know you got a mask on, but if you're saved this morning, would you just say this, amen. Amen? If you're saved this morning, say amen. That's a lot of benefit there. You know that you and I are going to spend an eternity in heaven together? Some of you are like, man, my family came in and we can only take it for about another 36 hours. I'm ready for them to get back. Well, you better get used to it because if they're saved, you and I are going to be spending a whole lot of time up there with our Abba Father. Okay, well, we have, a lot of benefits that are coming. If you're not saved this morning, you're not comprehending this. In fact, there's probably a little bit more fear in your mind going through this past year. If you're not saved this morning, you don't have that peace that passeth all understanding. You don't quite comprehend the grace that God bestows upon you and I. You're not understanding the mercy that He gives us each and every day. His compassions, they fail not. Those verses, they sound good and it sounds like a dream, but to be honest with you, preacher, I've never really experienced that before. You want the benefits of God, friend, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have to know Him. To be saved, you must know that you are a sinner. The Bible says, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. The psalmist put it this way, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The Bible says, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means this, friend, if you stepped in here today, and maybe you're just a visitor, or maybe you've been a long time, you've come for some time, or whatever the case might be today, maybe you walked in here and you say, you know what, this is why I don't like church. This is why I feel uncomfortable. Yeah, there's a preacher standing up there, and hey, he's got a tie on. I don't have a tie on. I'm not dressed like everybody else. And my family, they know me, but nobody's shaking my hand right now, or fist pump, or elbow, or hug, or whatever. Everybody is confused right now. I've asked three people. I'm just kind of standing back. Let me just say this, okay? I'm just going to put this out there, a little commercial break, and we'll come right back. I'm just going to say this. I grew up in the South, and everybody hugs. You say, well, we don't. Okay, well, all right, well, we shake hands, but right now we're only fist bumping, right now we're only elbowing, right now we're only, we're hitting heads together, whatever you're doing, okay? I'm just going to step back. If you want to shake my hand, I'm going to shake your hand. If you want to fist bump or elbow or knock heads or hug, whatever the case might be, I'm just saying it. This is going live stream, so don't come back and say, well, he did not shake my hand. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to do it, okay? Anyways, you come in and you say, I just don't feel comfortable here. Friend, let me help you out for just a moment. This is not Pastor Shepherd, this is Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not a perfect person in this room. Not one. Every person in here has sin. Well, I don't know. I just still feel uncomfortable. Let me just say, maybe it's not a lofty look. Maybe it's not just because somebody's dressed up. Maybe it's not because you haven't been to church in a while. Maybe it's just the Holy Spirit that's sitting there pounding your heart for just a moment. Maybe instead of us looking around and, you know, they did this, they did this, they're not sitting there and they don't, whoa, let's just stop for just a moment. Just say, if you want to reap the benefits of God, if you want to be called a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you and I must come to a place and admit in our life, watch very carefully, that we are sinners. We have sinned. We are not perfect. There is no one in this room or ever outside of Jesus Christ Himself that has ever lived a perfect, sinless life, my friend. And if you want to reap the benefit of salvation, you must come to a place you say, you know what? I am a sinner. And after that, you must repent of that sin. Acts put it like this: they should repent and turn towards God. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Corinthians says it like this: for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Luke said it like this: except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Friend, it's realizing that you are a sinner. It's realizing that you are separated from God. It's repenting of your sin. And then, watch very carefully now, it's placing your faith in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That means this, friend. That means this, that everyone who has died during this season or has passed away, maybe even some in this very church, they were buried somewhere here or around the globe. They were put into the ground. Do you know that our Savior died and was buried? But if you go, as maybe some of you have or were going to this next month, maybe you've been to the tomb where you believe Jesus was buried. And if you went to that tomb today, guess what, friend? It's empty. Amen. There's nobody there. Yes, Jesus came. Yes, Jesus died. Yes, He took our sins for you and I. He paid that payment for our sin. He died willingly. He was buried. And 3 days later, friend, He arose from the grave. And you and I have that salvation today. Friend, do you know that you are saved? The Bible says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, friend, watch this, shall be saved. It doesn't matter what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter if you've spent time in jail or prison. It doesn't matter what kind of scars you have on your body. It doesn't matter what kind of meanness you have in your life, friend. I'm just here to tell you today, if you believe that Jesus Christ died and He was buried and He rose again and He did it for you and for me and that He can live in your heart, friend, you can call upon Him. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin you have in your life, the Bible says that it will all be washed away. Amen. Gone forever. Well, we're good, are we not, about bringing up other people's sins? It's amazing what we remember about people. Well, that person did this. Well, they said this. Well, they did this. Well, I remember back in 1987, you know, it was January the 16th. Boy, somebody said, and boy, we remember everything. Aren't you glad that our Abba Father doesn't do that to us? He says He takes our sin and separates us as far as the east is from the west. I will accept His salvation. Friend, can I just say this thing? Do you know that you are saved? Do you know Him? Well, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, don't be embarrassed, friend. Would we not, church family, rejoice if somebody came forward and got saved today? Amen? Amen. Boy, what a great, what an incredible way to end 2020. As so-and-so got saved at Cross Point Baptist Church and they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What can we give towards God? We'll accept His salvation, but quickly, would you write this down? Number two, I will pay my vows. Number two, I will pay my vows. Look at verse number 14. Watch what the Bible says here. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. You know, 2020 came and made a lot of promises to God. We're going to give up this sin. We're going to stop doing this. We're going to we're going to give up this, we're going to read through the Bible, we're going to do this, we're going to write some commentary. We made a lot of vows to God. God, I'm never going to do this again. God, I'm never going to drink again. God, I'm not going to do this anymore. Lord, I'm going to let go of this habitual habit. Lord, Lord, I promise. Watch what the psalm says. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord. Well, that's why, you know, I'm not going to make any vows at the end of 2020, because I'm just telling you, I always go back on them. I'm not even going to say anything. I'm just going to live my life. I'm just going to move on. No, friend, listen. You may feel like you and I may feel like a failure at times, but we're not a failure because we failed. We're a failure if we give up. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 16, "For a just man falleth seven times," watch this very carefully, "and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." What have you and I vowed to God? What are you and I going to, when are you and I going to stop swimming in the shallow end and get out in the deep? Maybe this is the year 2021 that you and I stop messing around, stop just kind of goofing off, just and really get serious about some things in our life. Maybe it ought to be this year that you and I get serious about our marriage, or get serious investing time into our grandkids, or get serious about investing time into the local church, or maybe get serious about stepping out, maybe for the first time or many times in your life that you've read through a passage of scripture and really studied it, and you got into it, and you dug, and you exegeted the Word of God. Maybe this is this time of year, and maybe 2021 really is going to be the time that we say, you know what, Lord, going into this January 1st, this week, here's what I want to do, and God, here's what I want to grow in, and God, here's where I want to back up, and here's where I want to go forward, and here's where I want to step out by faith. Let me just tell you, friend, maybe it ought to be this year that you and I stop and say, you know what, God? This is going to be the year I'm going to make good on those vows that I've vowed to you. Now, wait a minute. It's easy to get into a message like this, and we get going, all of a sudden, you know, we start tuning out. Oh, man, it's 11:33. Everybody's going to go to the end of this passage. We ain't going to make it, honey. You know, it's our reservations are for, and you know, they got every other table, and we can't social distance. Okay, well, just wait. Before we tune out of the message, let's dive back in for just a moment. You ready? What if really we got serious about growing in God this year? Brother Dan, what would happen? Wow. Really, Brother Ted, I mean, can you imagine if we stopped for a moment and just said, let's do it? We looked at our husband or our wife and just, this is it. This is our year. What if, college student, for just a moment, you didn't come home from Maranatha or Bob Jones or PCC or wherever you're, maybe a local college here, and you just came in. You know what? It's time for me to sit back, relax, and, you know, I got time off, so I'm going to just say, maybe, what if this was your season that you got serious and, Pastor Chris, what can I do? Where can I dive in? Here's where I want to grow. Here's what I want to do for you, Lord. What if, just for a moment, we kind of take a time out from the passage and we say, Lord, here's what I'd like to do. And we wrote it down. We remembered it. Put it in Evernote, whatever the case might be. We just stopped for a moment. And we got real serious about what maybe we can give to God. I'm going to pay my vows. I'm going to go back. I might have failed this year, but I'm going to really step out by faith. No, we're going to pay our vows. But number three, would you write this down? We'll rest in His assurance. Look at verse number 15 with me. Psalm 116, don't close your Bibles just yet. Look at verse number 15. He says this, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." I know we use this oftentimes, any preachers in here today, we use it oftentimes in funerals, Pastor Dan, and we use this, you know, he's seen our Savior face to face, she's seen our Savior face to face, and I love that it really is an incredible verse if you think about it, precious. I mean, we use that word precious, it's an endearing word, it's a word often associated with someone who means much to us, like a child or a grandchild, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. But today, you and I that are saved, we can rest in His assurance that you and I are not worried about going to a place called hell. In my life, when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, has there been fret in my life? Sure. Has there been times I've been worried? Absolutely. I mean, even this past week, I have to admit, there has been a lot on my mind. Getting here, meeting with the staff on Monday, not knowing when our stuff from California was going to arrive on the truck, and back and forth, and this and that, and closing on a house. If I've closed on a house before, you know, until that ink is dried, you're in this limbo of, is it going to? And there's been some stress, sure, some cause in my life to fret, but I'm just here to tell you, there has not been one time this past week that I laid my head on the pillow and thought, well, I just hope I go to heaven. Well, I'm just telling you, God, I just don't know. If you came back tonight, am I going to spend eternity in a place called hell, or am I going to spend eternity in a place called heaven? I just don't know. Friend, no. You and I can rest in His assurance that you and I, once we are saved, we are always saved. Don't let anybody out there tell you, and look, and once you get saved, you got to work and you got to be good. You got to try to keep it. Or if you lose it, you got to be saved again, friend. I'm just telling you, anyone, I don't care, doctor, professor, anyone who tells you that, preacher, they go against the very word of God, because our Bible says very clearly, in whom ye have also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you have believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That means this, friend, you and I can rest assured this year. Yes, I understand. There's been a lot of fret. There's been a lot of fear. There's been a lot of back and forth, but I'm telling you, you and I can be rest assured that if God were to come back and we were to hear that trumpet sound, if you're saved today, you and I are going to be called up together with Him. What a great thought. Oh, what a thought. What a Savior. Wow. Have you ever seen in your life, now for some of you, maybe a little bit older, you've gone through maybe more wars than we have, or you've been through some difficult times in our country's history, but as a millennial, this is the hardest thing that I believe in my lifetime that we've had to face has been the pandemic of coronavirus, the COVID-19. And there's a lot of fear that goes around, isn't there? I mean, you just can't get away from it. Karen and I, for a little while, just kind of vowed a vow to each other, we're just going to stay off social media for a little while. We're going to get away from the politics, especially after November and the election. It was back and forth and recount and this, and they cheated and they didn't. We said we've got to stop for a little while. You know why? Because the fear that media puts in us. Fear, scared, can't. You say, oh, preacher, you don't believe in coronavirus? 100% believe in coronavirus. Has it affected lives? Yes. Has it been devastating? Without a doubt in some people's lives. So I wear a mask and I try to be careful. And again, I'll shake your hand or fist bump, whatever you want to do to make you feel comfortable. But I am here to tell you this, that you and I cannot live the rest of our lives with the fear that we have faced this year. We can't do it. We will become ineffective as a church if we allow ourselves to be just overtaken with fear. In fact, that's not just that's a pastor shepherd thing. No, the Bible says very clearly, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, check it out now, and of a sound mind. Fear, yes, we had a lot of sickness without a doubt, but isn't it a wonderful thing that we can rest in His assurance that we'll see Him face to face? That will push you and I, watch this now, to number four, to serve Him. Number four, we can serve Him. Verse number 16 says, O Lord, truly I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. What can you and I do? You and I can serve Him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirits, which are God's. You and I have been bought with a price. We ought not to serve man. No, we ought to serve God. We shouldn't serve self. No, we ought to serve God. The Sunday school lesson went along so perfectly with this that we really have become self, just enamored with our own selves. You know, there used to be people that would follow the rich and the famous. famous, we called them the paparazzi, and the paparazzi would go around. If you were famous, oh, they're going to Cross Point Baptist Church, and they would take pictures. And, oh, they're sitting over there. Oh, wow, they're drinking Kirkland Signature Purified Water. Oh, let's take a picture of it. Is it following by your ass? It's called the paparazzi. You know, we really don't have a whole lot of paparazzi anymore. You know why? Because we are all paparazzi. The sad thing is we're not taking a picture of anybody else. You know, we're taking a picture of ourselves. Man, do we not? For college students, you know, man, Instagram is like 99% of everybody. It's of ourselves. You know, I mean, how many times we know you use the filter because you don't look like that. Anyway, it's we've become we've become enamored with ourselves. We love ourselves. What if 2021 brought about a change that we stopped thinking of ourselves and we started thinking about God and others? We stopped thinking about how can I be at first in line and how can I make it up there? And oh, they cut me off. And maybe we just started thinking about that person needs the gospel. That person's not saved. Man, if that person could just come in and be in one of the Sunday school classes they were in today, boy, it changed their life. And not quick, hurry, get in, get out, boy, but this shopping here, shopping there, get in, we got hurry. But what if just a moment we just stop a moment and just say, you know what, this year we really are going to just serve you. Hey, dads, can I talk to you for just a moment? And I'm almost done. Pastor Chris, I can't even remember what time we were supposed to get out. I didn't even ask, but it's like 11:42. We're doing real good, so just a moment. Watch now. What if this year we really served God? And every dad in here got in their car today and started up. And it's 43 degrees out. It's not as bad as it was in Ohio, so we're doing good. 43, the car's warming up. Everybody's buckling up. Everybody's getting on their phones. Everybody's checking what is going on. Everybody's talking about they took my seat in church. The new pastor went overtime. Okay, whatever. And what if, dads, for just a moment, we stop? We just said, hon, we're going to serve God this year. Hey, kids, we're going to step out. This is our year. We've been talking about for a long time getting in that choir loft, and whenever we start back, and when we've been wanting to get in that choir loft, now's our time. You know, everybody sings up here. I think it was college students, or maybe Pastor Blake, teenagers today. I'm not sure. This group, college students, adults, college students up here. I've always wanted to hold that book. I've always wanted to be there. Why don't you step out and serve God with your voice this year? I've always wanted to be one of those guys that walks around the hallway and they got a microphone in their ear and they're keeping everybody safe. Serve God this year. Me too, by the way. Played an instrument. Get in a Sunday school class. What if we gotten involved? You see, we think about God's benefits towards us. What can we do for Him? Friend, I really believe we could serve Him. We were bought with a price, and that price was great. What can we do? We could serve Him. Well, we also can thank Him. Verse number 17 said, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Look at it with me. And will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. When's the last time we stopped for a moment? We stopped complaining, stopped murmuring, and just said, thank you, Lord. We really do hear a lot of complaining nowadays, and maybe I do my fair share, but we do have much to be thankful for heading into the last week of 2020. What if we all just took a breath just for a moment? Everybody take a deep breath together. Ready? Best you can through your mouth. Let it out. Praise the Lord. We're breathing. We're here. When's the last time we just said, Lord, thank you for Psalm 116. Thank you for the Bible that we hold in our hand. Thank you, Lord, for a country. I understand what's going on, but thank you, Lord, for a country. There's been thousands of men and women who have died, and even thousands around the globe today that are keeping us safe. Lord, thank you for our military. Thank you, Lord, for the old red, white, and blue, the old glory. Lord, thank you for this country. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you for my husband. There's much to thank Him for. Look at verse number 19. we can also praise Him. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, watch this very carefully, praise ye the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 109 and verse number 30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I will praise Him among the multitude. We can have and we can go both ways, and sure, I get it. But you know, what if the last Sunday morning, the very last Sunday morning of 2020, we stopped for just a moment, we just thanked Him. We just praised Him. I understand, I was talking to Pastor Chris beforehand, there's a lot going on with COVID that Pastor Chris is, and so many, Pastor Dan, so many others have done just fantastic here at Crosspoint. I praise the Lord for these men. And the back and forth, and what's Marion County going to do, and what's this ordinance, and this, and just, it's a mess. But what if we pause for just a moment, put all of that aside, and on the last Sunday morning, we stopped, and together, as a family, we just thanked Him, and we praised Him. Because if you go back and read verses number 1 through 11, boy, has God been good to us, and continues to be. What if we just for a moment said, thank you, Lord. I'm going to praise you today. It's been a crazy year. There's been a lot of, you know what? God, you're still seated on the throne. You've got it all in your hand. You weren't shocked. Thank you. I just want to praise you today.